So your first game for Gloucester, can you remember who it was, first of all?
Well, I think it's different to what you got.
Oh, right.
So you've got me down against Quinns, and I'm pretty certain it was against London Irish.
Oh, right.
Came off the bench against London Irish, and I'm not sure if it was in one of those European games or at the time, because I remember I had to come on at tight head because Deeks had gone off. I came on at tight head and I scrummed against Justin Fitzpatrick, I think it was. They had Gary Halpin on the tight end, Justin Fitzpatrick. And the only reason I can remember this, we were on Guinness and Port afterwards. It was my first game, so I had to have an initiation on the way home.
And this is in London Irish?
This was on the way back from London Irish. And the initiation was in what was the old Pewsden pub on the A40. Having to do my initiation there. I won't tell you what the initiation was, but thank God there was no phones or cameras or anything back then.
Was drinking involved?
Oh yeah, you had to have the dirty drink, but yeah, the fact that trousers and boxers were around my ankles while I'm still in the chair doing it, while people are eating the other side of the fireplace in the restaurant
So what about the game itself, that very first game? Do you have any recollection of that?
Don't really remember it at all, no. Yeah. Just that I had to play tight end, it was just literally hit in there and hold.
Yeah, like, and as a replacement?
Replacement, yeah.
So when was your first selected for the
Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you.
It was against Combined Services, apparently.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we were discussing before the interview how people can't remember certain games, and particularly the first game. You think, well, everybody would know their first game. I think others would be struggling as well.
Yeah, I think the Combined Services games used to happen quite regularly, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because I remember I played sort of a first team game for Bath, and that was Combined Services. But I think that was sort of when I was at Colts level. And I do remember playing Combined Services because there was this tight end, and he wasn't that big compared to sort of me. He wasn't big, he was just like skinny, but he probably couldn't play anywhere else. And I remember year one I played him, and he just tucked me up. He just had me in all sorts of angles, and he just knew how to, hide his shoulder and make himself as small as possible. And then the next year I played, it was sort of like parity probably. And then the next time it was like, got you. I know how to deal with you now. And that's your learning curve,
yeah,
isn't it?
As absolutely.
You work him out then, and you're like that, right? You're learning.
So when you came to Gloucester, who were ahead of you, for want of a better word, in the front row of that particular
team? Pete Jones was still playing. AD Powell's, Tony Window. They were the guys that I can remember on the loose head. Hope I haven't forgotten anyone. But you used to turn up here and there'd be 50, 60 players, wouldn't there? And it would be, and then all those girls go back to sort of local rugby, or you'd play second team, wouldn't you? And so they were the guys that were ahead of me at that I had to get past, and they were, good experienced players.
Yeah.
I've got a date, 96.
Yeah.
Combined Services.
Yeah.
One prop, John Hawker and Warwick Bullock.
Yeah.
And second rows was Richard Ward, Mark Cornwell, Bill Nichols, Andy Stanley and Scott Edwards.
Yeah.
Because that's the first game you could.
That sounds about right, yeah. Stan was captain. Stan's always captain when he was playing, wasn't he?
He didn't say he was captain,
yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Apparently I got Stan his first yellow card.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently it was me that kicked or punched someone on the floor, and the referee thought 7 looked like a 1, and Stan still tells me now I got his first yellow card for it.
Well, I have to ask him that, because we see him at the gym, you're the same,
yeah.
On Monday and Thursday, and I have to ask him about that. So.
Interesting point there about punching and kicking somebody. I mean, I played obviously the 100 years ago, and then the modern game, you've got assistant refs and TMOs and cameras and all that. Does any skullduggery still go on in the front row, or did it in your day, cause in the early professional?
Nothing goes on now because everything's, you know, you could. There's six cameras. Like when we review a game now, I've got six cameras to look at, look at all the angles and so forth. You can't get away with.
So there's no bloody bites or.
No, there's nothing like. The only thing they get excited about now is when people just push and shove, isn't it? And grab someone's shirt. But there's definitely. There's nothing now. It's all very tame. You don't even get anything in training, really anymore. No. Nothing. Not really.
This is Gloucester.
I know. Maybe that's where we've gone wrong.
Right. Your first try, was it in your 40th appearance? Can you remember that one?
No.
Against Sale, apparently.
Yeah, no, don't remember. Home or away?
Couldn't tell you.
No, don't remember it.
Right.
Don't remember that one.
So, you touched on your initiation ceremony there at the Pews then or whatever. What other memories do you have of your early days in playing for Gloucester? Any particular matches or particular incidents in the game or after the game, I suppose?
I just, do you know, the one thing that sort of struck me back then was the amount of people that played rugby for all different clubs, and then you suddenly, after a game, you'd walk whichever way you wanted to walk into town. And you've got everyone there in their blazers, all representing, whether it's Matson, Long Levens, Gordon, like, it doesn't matter, they're all sort of all there on an evening. So you realise quite quickly that as a city is rugby, and you couldn't ever hide from it.
You didn't experience that at Bath? I mean, there was some...
Yeah, but I didn't really probably spend that much time sort of out in and around the Bath.
Right, you just
up there. City, yeah, it's like, you know, here you just notice that massively. Yeah. All the different rugby clubs that people came from, and obviously, you know, you're playing in a team there, like the team that you announced about the combined services. Well, they all would have had a local rugby club here somewhere in Gloucester, or maybe Forrester Dean or somewhere, that then come into Gloucester. So they always had an attachment to somewhere else, which is, I thought, was never really experienced that before, really, apart from like at county level where all your local your county clubs all to come together to play for Cornwall so forth. So I never really experienced that before. I think, you know, one game that sticks in my mind and actually used it as a sort of a bit of a, you know, lightning strikes twice type thing, sort of, can history repeat itself, was in 96, was my first experience of Gloucester Bath derby. So obviously that meant a bit because I'd just come from Bath to here, and John Hall said to me in the tunnel down there, he goes, I thought you'd come here to play rugby, and obviously I wasn't on the, you know, one of those sly little digs at you. You know, and Mike Teague was stood next to me, and he heard that because obviously Teague was one of our mentors back then. And he sort of heard that, and he kept reminding me of that. Don't forget what that bloke said to you. So I was over in the shed watching, and if you look at the parallels between 96 and 2026 in January, when the two sides played each other, Gloucester second from bottom, probably one or two international caps. Bath top of the table, full of internationals.
Yeah.
And the parallels were just quite. So I used that as a sort of like a, with the forwards, as an emotional, history can repeat itself type thing, and how special those derby days are to everyone. So that was one game that really stands out for me, because obviously I moved from Bath to Gloucester, and you experience then what a Gloucester Bath derby was like. And at the end of the game, it was, you know, I got clips off YouTube of, there's about a 4-minute video on YouTube where the crowd is just running onto King's Own. You know, Dave Sims is talking about how much it means to the city and the supporters and so forth, because obviously Gloucester was in a bit of a, you know, second from bottom, there was relegation and that back then, wasn't it? So it was how much it meant to everyone and the fans, and that's one game, if I could probably think of one game, that would be the one I remember most. Not playing, but watching.
What about playing? Who were the people you really respected that you played with, or against as well? I'll do that perhaps as a separate issue.
I think like coming through, Andrew Stanley, as playing a bit of second team and first team, like Andrew Stanley was captain, and he was probably like a Lewis Ludlow of his day, really.
Yeah.
You know, just throw himself into everything. May not be the biggest back row, maybe not sit anyone down on a ball carry, but he would throw himself into absolutely everything. And he's always one person that, as a player, sticks in my mind. What else did I have to do? I remember John Brain telling me I'm not in the team because he didn't think I was tough enough, so I had to go and have a fight with Simon Devereux on the training field. It was just like, well, he's the hardest bloke on the team, Dev's, you know. So that was another interesting sort of stepping stone that you had to go through to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And that was it. Dev's chasing me around the field for the next 40 minutes trying to hit me back. But that was quite little things like that, just to try and prove yourself. If someone says you can't do something, or they're questioning your ability in something, then you've got to prove yourself, haven't you? And
what about from opposition? You touched earlier on somebody from combined services. Who were the problem men that you played against when you turned professional? The guys you really respect.
Oh, look, as you come from, when you learn the most when you're young, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lydney, playing here, second team against Lydney. You got
rite of passage.
Yeah, Gareth Williams was a tight head for them at the time, and him and his second row behind him, tucked into me for the full 80 minutes. Yeah. And that was a learning for me. It wasn't necessarily they were scrummaging better or pushing Europe. It was just relentless. Every scrum there was going to be something. Twist your jersey so you can't breathe. Pinch your nipples, second row sending one through.
Yeah.
You know, just all those little things.
Things you can't do now.
And then at the end of the game, they stand there and go, let's go and have a pint. And I'm just thinking, hang on, you just kick the living daylights out of me for 80 minutes. Let's go and have a pint. And that's where you learn. It's not necessarily against, like Julian White was always a handful. Big, strong farmer. He was a handful, There's plenty of sort of props out there, like Marius Hertel up at Newcastle, big South African, like he was a massive handful. Cobus Visagi from Saracens, another Saffa. God, he'd get you in all sorts of trouble. And it's one of those where you're just digging in to hold territory, you're just holding ground and digging in. You know you're an inch away from being broke and he's going to go straight through you. But you are just digging and go, this is proper uncomfortable. There's players out there just going, I'm gonna fight for everything and I'm gonna hang in here. And
it's all part of the learning process, as you said earlier. You get to learn.
Yeah, so it's just there's plenty of players out there that sort of, stick, some of them's because they're stronger, some of them more technical. Yeah. And your learning comes, from when you're younger and getting a good hiding.
Yeah. It's interesting that because I didn't play your standard, but as a prop, the ones I can remember are the ones that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
But old guys mainly that just gone over the top and tied me up in bloody knots, and I was a big young Hogan.
Yeah, that's the one, because probably
you learned so much from it.
That maybe because they were only really, that was their one thing, that was their point of difference was scrum.
Yeah, they don't run around the
hall. They may not do anything else around the field. They might just go walk from scrum to scrum, and that's what they were good at.
Yeah.
Your Jeff Probins, people like that just was like, let's have 100 scrums a game, and he's in his element.
Yeah.